On ABC Local Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. Time to talk DVDs with Eddie Ivamy. Eddie, a very good morning to you.
Hello, Rod. How are you?
I'm okay. A couple of interesting films. You know, I don't know whether they're rebooting franchises or just returning once again to stories that we've seen before, but that's what the case is with The Legend of Tarzan and Independence Day Resurgence. Where would you like to begin?
Why don't we start with The Legend of Tarzan, Rod?
Okay.
Something we haven't seen on the big screen for a little while.
I don't know. Some of those movies come around awfully quickly. I mean, there's been classic Tarzan films we know with Johnny Weissmuller and that sort of thing. And then we had the cartoon version that Phil Collins wrote the songs for. There was Greystoke with Christophe Lambert. He was in it as well, Christopher Lambert. Quite a few Tarzan movies over the years. Why is this one any different?
So, Rod, this Legend of Tarzan, directed by David Yates, is, I would have to say, the biggest budgeted version of the swinging shirtless man that we've seen yet. I believe the last Tarzan I would have watched would have been that Disney animated film from the late 90s, which was in its own way quite entertaining. But this Legend of Tarzan is not an origin story. It takes off when Tarzan is back in England as Lord Greystoke, and he is drawn back into the jungle with his wife Jane, and he's off to fight the big baddies in the jungle of his home kind of country there. And so those looking for an origin story will be a little bit disappointed, but look, I found this to be a quite entertaining, silly film.
Yes.
Tarzan itself is silly when you think about it. Man being raised by apes, living out his life in the jungle, it's quite silly. So you've got to give it a bit of leeway there. And I found myself really enjoying this film, actually. And I was happy that it wasn't one of those generic-ish origin stories where you go from the start and go through and he meets Jane and then a baddie comes in. So I like the fact that he was already established in the film, and we get brief glimpses of him growing up in the jungle with the apes and things like that. But I was happy to see that it wasn't an origin story.
Yeah, although I will say, I was thinking that at the start. I thought, oh, thank goodness, everybody knows who Tarzan is. Maybe young people today haven't seen a Tarzan movie. Maybe it needs to be explained to them. And then it was explained to them, because it's not an origin story, I agree with you. But a little way into the film, for those who've come in late, oh, we do get the origin story.
Yeah, we do. So it's kind of odd how they established that, and maybe it was just to get away from many other film of this kind that have pretty much followed the point A to point B setup that kind of become the regular thing over the years. And Tarzan here is played by Alexander Skarsgård, who's probably still most recognisable to people from True Blood, the TV show there. And it also has Margot Robbie, Australia's very own Margot Robbie, Samuel Jackson and Christoph Waltz. So a great cast. I found Skarsgård a little bit dry as Tarzan, I must admit. His body certainly seemed to suit what the character was.
Yes. But it's not really playing Tarzan. He's playing Lord Greystoke, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems as though he's more that than Tarzan, and there's only brief glimpses of that animalistic Tarzan that we get throughout the film that brings it back to how he was grown up and brought up by these apes. It was very much a fierce competition there.
Yeah.
The big letdown for me in this film, Rod, was Christoph Waltz as the villain.
Yeah.
He plays, I swear he's played this character.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah,
he plays the same role, whether it's in a Tarantino movie or this one.
He's the German villain.
Yes, that's a ruthless European.
I must say, for an actor of his capabilities, it's quite sad to see him just wheel this thing out every now and then. Every now and then. It almost seems as though it's a yearly tradition.
Yeah. If you need a villain, preferably with an accent, you get Christoph Waltz. I mean, he's won two Oscars.
Sure.
He's a good actor, and he's been good in other movies like Big Eyes. But, you know, he just does it by the numbers here.
Oh, it was really frustrating because the film, as I said, was quite fun, and his villain just felt so boring. You couldn't believe that he was allowed to do it. And his weapon of choice is, out of all things, a prayer beads.
Yes.
I can't really even begin to explain that, but very disappointed with Christoph Waltz's villain, Leon Rom, who has come to the jungle to export all their natural resources and
to steal diamonds, basically.
Just very, very disappointing. Samuel Jackson was quite fun in a support role, and I think the star here, again, she seems to be doing this a lot, was Margot Robbie. She was great as Jane. She's very, very charismatic. She's having a good run at the moment, and it's nice to see her in another big profiled picture. And David Yates, he's probably most famous for directing the last four or five Harry Potter films, and his new film, The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, is out in a few weeks. So he's a director that knows how to handle big-budgeted films and spectacle, and Tarzan does have that. I was quite enjoying a lot of the action scenes, and they were done in an inventive way, which was nice. But yeah, look, it's not a... I don't know if there's ever been a fantastic Tarzan film. It seems to be a bit of a hard thing to develop from text to film. And obviously there's those films from the 50s, 60s and so on that are very well liked and regarded by those that grew up at the time. But I'm unsure if we'll ever get the quintessential Tarzan on screen. I'm not too sure what would even be considered the quintessential Tarzan on screen. But this probably isn't it, but it's a nice redoing of a story that, as you say, maybe a lot of young people haven't actually got on board with yet.
Yeah. I have no doubt someone will try and make another Tarzan film. For those who watched a lot of TV in the 70s, 60s and 70s, then Ron Ely was Tarzan, and he was in plenty of episodes of that TV show, so he's their Tarzan. I thought it was interesting, the approach, which was that everyone knew who Tarzan was, and in England he's a big celebrity. He is Lord Greystoke, but all the children know who he is, and they want to see him walk around, you know, on all fours. And he's well known in society, and also people around Europe know who he is. And so, you know, if you want to get something done in the Belgian Congo, well, you're going to make sure Tarzan's involved, or you're going to make sure Tarzan's not going to be there to thwart your terrible ambition to corner the world diamond market.
Yeah, that was an interesting way how they took a look at that celebrity, especially celebrity of days gone by, where their celebrity wasn't just you recognise them, they actually had power to do things and you needed them there to get some things done. I liked how they did that.
Yeah,
it was a very interesting way to do it. And the film obviously had tried to bring in a little bit of historical accuracy into certain situations, especially with what was happening with the use of slave labor
and things
like that in the natural resources sense. And I thought that was interesting. It's never going to make any huge difference to humanity the way this film's done because it is so silly, but at least they tried to put something of historical
something
context
different
in there. And even Samuel L. Jackson's character of George Washington Williams was a real-life figure from my
opinion.
I thought that was a little bit interesting because at the start I didn't know anything about that character at all, and then afterwards when I looked up some information, I'd realised that was based on someone that actually had interacted in society and been involved in some pretty big things. So,
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was something to take note of and something you weren't even really aware of as the film wore on. But
yeah, because they're trying to make a point that he is there representing the US. In fact, he's been sent by President Benjamin Harrison to kind of sort things out. And he makes a comment a couple of times about, oh, well, we've got rid of slavery. Why are you still doing it, basically? Well, that's all very well, but other countries got rid of slavery, you know, hundreds of years before the US, and they're trying to hold the high moral ground on slavery. But I suppose it's just another way of getting Samuel L. Jackson into a movie.
Yeah, and he appears about as much as Christoph Waltz does in every type of film, and he has a lot of fun here. I actually thought he did a really good job. And, although Alexander Skarsgård was a little bit dry as Tarzan, there was a few wins in the cast, and I really do believe if they had done something a bit more interesting with Christoph Waltz's character, it would have been a really fun film. It would have gone up the next level. And while it's not going to be remembered too many years down the track, I do think that it offers a great bit of entertainment and a good version of Tarzan that maybe, out of all the remakes and redoings that they've been doing over the last few years, it's probably been one of the more refreshing ones in the sense that it feels a little bit different, a little bit new.
Okay.
I'm glad that felt that way because originally I was very worried that it would be that typical origin story we've seen 100 times before.
But, you know, I don't think this film's going to be remembered a few weeks from now, let alone a few years from now.
Probably right there, right? I could not be too hard with that one, I don't think.
Look, it's enjoyable. It's perfectly enjoyable as a Tarzan movie. That's fine. But if you never see it, do you think you're going to miss anything?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so that's the sad thing. Eddie Ivamy is our guest, talking DVD releases here on Overnights. Now we get to a reboot of, well, I don't know if you can call it a franchise, because I think there was only one film, wasn't there, back in the old days, Independence
Day?
Yeah,
the 1996 original, right?
And I think at one point it was the highest grossing movie that was on its own, that was not part of a franchise or didn't have sequels or prequels or anything like that. Now they've gone and spoiled it all by giving us a sequel. I will say I've never seen the original. I know I'm probably the only person in the world that hasn't. What do you make of this one?
Well, the original Independence Day, as we just mentioned, released in 1996, was a huge hit, as you said. It made just under $1 billion worldwide at the time, which was pretty incredible, really, in the mid-90s. So if you adjust that for inflation and aspects like that, it probably still is one of the highest grossing films ever. And it was a heck of a lot of fun, Independence Day, I must admit. It's one of those films that pops up on TV even to this day and still has a lot of fans. Probably made a star out of Will Smith. It was probably just as he was getting to the big stage of his career. Director Roland Emmerich, who'd been hanging around for a few years, it was his big breakout hit. It was set a staple for summer blockbusters in a lot of ways, and especially alien invasion films. And it was lampooned in all types of other films like Mars Attacks and events that followed after it. But it was a fun film filled with a great cast. Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum, Bill Pullman. It had a great cast, a great fun screenplay, almost a throwback to those old pulpy films that kids used to enjoy way back when. And it had some great spectacle, known for giving us the explosion of the White House as the aliens come down, all these iconic images. And now Roland Emmerich and his team are back with Resurgence, but I tell you what, Rod, this film is absolutely terrible.
Really? I kept thinking it was about to get worse. And it never really did. It just kind of bumped along, and I don't know, I didn't think it was all that bad. Why was it so terrible?
I just found it so... That sounds a little bit kind of picky, doesn't it? But so boring.
And yeah, fair enough.
Compared to the first film, which I still remember quite a bit from growing up as a kid, and haven't seen it for a few years now, but it was, as I said, a fun film, and this just lacked it. And I think it missed badly the charisma of someone like Will Smith, who is great in films like Independence Day. He can elevate the material a little bit to something else.
Unlike the bloke who's playing his son, who has no personality whatsoever.
May as well have put a cardboard cutout of Will Smith on screen, and it probably would have been about the same level of charisma, unfortunately.
But a bit like Ghostbusters, though, last week, the best thing in it is a Hemsworth.
Well, yeah, look, he does try hard, doesn't he? I don't think he has a lot to work with Liam Hemsworth this time, so Chris's younger brother. But gee whiz, for a film that cost over $150 million to make and that had a pretty solid foundation to go somewhere else, the first film was, as I said, fun, and it had more to do, I think, with the whole series of alien invasions and protecting the Earth and things like that. But this is just an atrocious use of money.
Wow.
And Roland Emmerich as well. He went through this period where he made quite fun films. Like, you look at Stargate, Independence Day. He did The Patriot with Mel Gibson, which was a bit of fun. The Day After Tomorrow, Anonymous a few years ago, about Shakespeare, which was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just, I think he's jumped the gun now with selling himself out. And for him to come back after all these years, 20 years after the original, with a lot of the original cast members, like Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman are all back, Judd Hirsch, they're all kind of back for the ride. Will Smith, I believe, wasn't going to get paid enough, so I'm not going to be a part of this. So he probably made a wise choice in the end there. But it's just for a spectacle film, this type of sci-fi action adventure, you want to be entertained and you want to have funny dialogue, interesting, colourful characters, and this film just doesn't give you any of that. And it's almost sad to see these people come back. Like, Jeff Goldblum hasn't done a lot in the last few years, and Bill Pullman's a bit the same. They're all kind of back, and they're running through the trenches a bit and just going through the motions. And I must say, they look about as bored as I felt watching it, I think.
Wow, okay. However, at the end, there's no doubt that they're setting it up for a sequel, which is, instead of the aliens coming to Earth, the Earthlings head out into the universe. Apparently, and I'm sure you read this as well, they wanted Susan Sarandon to play the US president. In the end, Celia Ward plays the president. And Susan Sarandon read the script and she said, I just couldn't work out what was going on, just couldn't make head nor tail of it. Normally I would think, yeah, she's probably right, but I thought, if anything, the storyline was too straightforward.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a retread of what the first film did, which is always a bit annoying when you get that sequel that's almost just going in the same footsteps as the first. And even a lot of the jokes in the film seem to play back to the old film, which is fine sometimes, but
it's 20 years ago.
Yeah, and it's doing nothing original. It's bringing nothing new to the table. And with these new additions to the cast, like we said, Liam Hemsworth, you've got the young actor there playing Will Smith's son. Jesse T. Usher was his name. And Also, Micah Monro, who was in It Follows, a really good horror film last year.
Oh, yeah.
This is probably her big break, you know, big film role, and she's underused.
Yep.
I have no idea really what this film was trying to achieve other than making easy money off the last one.
But did they make any money on it?
Well, I don't think really that it did. When you add in marketing and things like that for this film, they would have barely made much from it, especially compared to the first film that was this huge, groundbreaking, money-making machine. Like you said, for an original film to make that much money is almost unheard of. And then you get this, which is a follow-up that had I remember going to the cinemas for months, and every time you'd go, it was Independence Day, just trailers after trailer. And I think they almost probably oversaturated the marketplace with advertisements for it. But, yeah, just a very poor film, Rod. And
another
big example of unnecessary sequels, or sequels that just people probably were somewhat excited for, but then when it came out, they thought, well, what is this? It's not anything compared to the original, and it's very disappointing when you've obviously got a lot of fans of an original film and they're looking forward to getting on board again. But, yeah, a boring, tired film that is a waste of lots and lots of money that could be spent on a lot better films.
Okay, so the budget, $165 million, they estimate. It made $103 million at the US box office, so you'd have to think it's a flop. And I'm not surprised that it's a flop, because it really had very, very little going for it.
Now, Rod, where are they going to go? As you say, they've set it up for this next big event for the series. And, yeah, I'll be thinking maybe now we're leaning towards, oh, we might not get another one, which I don't think anybody's going to care about. Because if this was on TV and the original was at the same time, I reckon you'd have 95% tune in back to the original, even though the effects are a little dated and things like that. It's just got more charisma. It's got more spark in it than this film could even dream to have.
Okay, well, they have announced that Independence Day 3 is coming in 2018, but it could easily be put into turnaround. Who knows? And I don't think anyone would miss it. In fact, all they'd need to do would snip off the last minute of the film, and you could just, you know, have it as a standalone movie.
The director's cut might be coming out if we're lucky, Rod.
The director's cut will cut out the bit that indicates we might be having a sequel. Yeah, all righty. Independence Day Resurgence does not resurge in any way, I will say. Eddie, thank you very much for directing us away from that movie, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rod. Appreciate it. We'll see you then.
Eddie Ivamy with DVDs.